All right, now we're back with Marblehead High School football coach Jim Rudloff. And, Coach, thank you for joining us once again. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rick. Good to be here, always, as always.
Okay, did you enjoy your week off down in the Bahamas?
Yeah, I wish. No, it was nice to have a bye week, certainly, but we still got a lot of work done, which is important.
Have you had I don't remember how these schedules work. Have you done this before? Did you have some precedent to set the week up?
No, just the everything with the schedules happens in a two-year cycle. So I think the MIAA does a three-year cycle with their division. So they're going to realign all the divisions again after this season. And there'll be a lot of changing with the Northeast Conference, a lot of teams moving around again like they did last time. Just because of the different changes, there's been such dramatic changes with COVID in school sizes. And so you'll see a lot of teams switch divisions, but also the Northeast Conference every 2 years, for the sake of scheduling, resets based on wins and losses. So, for example, Peabody, who's in the South, I think will move back up to the North after their record, and someone will move down from the North. And they always do it by wins and losses. They realign the North and the South with the NEC. It doesn't have any standing on playoffs, though.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense because, as you say, the population's changed so rapidly, and it's just really weird the way it's been going. And, you know, Peabody in the South or whatever it's called, you know, that division, the Baker division, it's just kind of weird. But anyway, thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate it. So what did you guys do for the last couple of weeks in practice in terms of either the regular routine or a different routine?
Yeah, so talking about just specifically the bye week, it's not really, you know, you're hoping to use it. You know, number one, the reason it happened is just the difficulty in scheduling non-league opponent this week. I mean, there's nobody out there looking for a game really this week. So we knew when we got that as the hole in our schedule that we probably were going to have to be creative. So it just turned out being a bye week. So last year was the first year we did it of the 2 week cycle or 2 year cycle. And we learned a little bit from what we did last year, what I didn't like about it, what we did like about it. And it's a chance to give the kids some time off, you know, certainly rest their bodies. You know, so we took the weekend off. Monday we took off. And then Tuesday you get back into the weight room and you start running again. On Wednesday we put the pads back on again and try to work again specific stuff. You know, you don't have all the film on the team you're going to play. So you're not doing a lot of specific stuff, but you're doing stuff to the best of what you have, and more fixing the things that you do well or not so well.
At this time of year, do you get to be a little more specific because the fundamentals should be fairly entrenched in these guys?
Yeah, yes and no. You know, it's funny. It depends on what type of year you're having and what type of team you have. Last year at this time, we really did not have a lot of injuries, so that definitely was the case. We felt like we could zero in on a couple of things a little bit more. We really this year have had so many different kids have to be the backup or the starter at different positions that we've spent almost every week reteaching sort of base stuff, it seems like. And we've only in the last couple of weeks gotten the chance to, for the first time, say, okay, now that we've done this, we can add this layer to it. or it just doesn't feel like we've had the same couple of guys. This has been a lot like 2019. We've had a lot of injuries, and I know that everyone does, and I'm not, you know, a crying poor mom saying that. It's just been very different for us. And last year, you know, what resulted in a Super Bowl was the fact that no one really got hurt all season long. We played with the same team all season, and that you know, certainly was a big help for us.
You know, Jim, it leads me to think about teaching in that sometimes – you know, you have a class that's really outstanding and they're really easy to work with and you can just fly and actually get to the back of the book. Other times you don't, but it's equally as gratifying because you're able to bring kids along. And I know that in coaching it's the one loss record, you know, that's the bottom line. But when you do kind of stuff that you've had to do, especially in this kind of situation, I'm sure the coaches have got to feel pretty damn good when you get kids who get it even at this time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's definitely a lot like that. Teams are a lot like your classes, you know, and like you said, you're going to have a class that you really have to push through and think of a lot of supplemental things you need to do with them to get them to that same point that the very same class in another period is just flying through the material. So, you know, with this year, it's not so much that these kids aren't flying through the material. It's that it feels like every day when you walk into class, there's a different kid sitting in the
right.
third seat. First row and a new kid in the fifth seat in the third row. And that kind of messes everything up. So we're still a little bit in the throes of that while at the same time feeling a little bit more stabilized. Mm-hmm. We just had so many odd injuries that, you know, the way that we do it is we like any other team, you don't necessarily, it's great to say that we have 40, 50, 60 people on the roster, but you're working with maybe 13 varsity players. So mm-hmm. really what happens is if you lose your right tackle, it may not be the second string right tackle that goes in. It may be your left tackle, and then your right tackle goes to left tackle, and your guard moves. And that kind of screws everything up. And that's more likely to happen, I think, at our level, D3, D4, D5, mm-hmm. in that area there. And so that's kind of more what you're doing is sometimes reteaching a kid a whole new set of things. And so we've done a little bit of that this year. Every coaching staff has, and mm-hmm. at some point they're going to have to do that. So that's just been kind of the strange thing of what we've had, and that's sort of what's held us back. So I definitely do feel like we're nowhere near where we were with last year's team, but it's a different year, different set of kids, trying to get them caught up and get them up to speed. To where we would like to be.
It's great to hear about the learning process, Coach, and the fact that you can move kids around and they're adaptable. They will learn because I know that when you're 4 years old or 5 years old, I'm a center fielder. That's all there is to it. You know, that's
yes.
Or I'm the quarterback. But then the reality sets in and they make the adjustment. That's tremendous. I want to ask you, Coach, about. Before we get to Danvers, I want to ask you about the power rankings, and it's sort of a general question I have. At this time of year, you guys are at the moment, I guess, at number 8 in D3, is it?
Yep.
Okay. And, some schools ahead of you that probably might not be there, but the fact is, if you really can't – let me ask the question properly. If you win – is the position changeable at this point, rather than if you lose? To me, if you lose, okay, then you can lose, you can change your position. But if you win, are you able to climb up a little bit in this last game?
No, not really. It's an interesting game because, Danvers is battling for their playoff life.
Mm-hmm.
We're battling for our home playoff life.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're in a position where we feel like we've earned a home playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, we have to finish our run in order to do that. So we have one more game to do that. So we would be highly disappointed, especially with the way the new statewide playoff system is. We could end up in Lunenburg, Mass. Or someplace. So we want to have a home football game, and we feel like we've earned that to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, Danvers is going to disagree with that, and that's, we can squabble over that on Friday night, but they're playing for their playoff life. So really, it's kind of it's kind of a great thing, that you have both teams that really desperately want to have a win.
Yeah.
And we think that, obviously if Danvers, if they lose, they're not going to feel that they're in a very good place for the playoff picture. We're going to feel like we're in an equally poor place if we don't win, because certainly we don't want to be, coming off of a loss, going to the playoffs, and now going on the road, it puts us in a really bad situation too. So it's for everyone else, it's really good. For the players, there's a lot of pressure this week.
Well, this is in effect a playoff game between Danvers and Marblehead, and it should be amazing. I'm sure you follow the Danvers Masconomet, whatever it was, fireworks that happened last weekend. And what are your thoughts, Coach, in terms of Danvers? Because they've been up and down, but when they're up, they're really up.
Yeah, Danvers, well, first it starts with Ryan. He's probably one of the better coaches that I've coached against in my career. There's,
mm-hmm.
there's been a couple guys that I've gone up against that I just think are really good. He's just every year he's been there, he does such a good job. He's very creative. He's very, motivated, positive.
Mm-hmm.
And does just a good job. So it starts with that. And, so you're up against it when you're going up against, Ryan. So it's, That's number one. Number two, he's got a couple of really college level players. You know, the tight end 87 is a real good player. Mm-hmm. He blocks well. He gets after it. He can catch. He can run it. He runs good routes. An excellent defensive end. You know, he has a lot of nice options in front of him for college football. Their running back slash receiver number five, mm-hmm. is also a super player. He's got all the skills. It just is. I was very disappointed when I was, you know, first started like looking into how they've been. You know, as you get closer to the Danvers game, and I'm reading about him, and then I'm getting ready to go to the Masco game, and you realize the kid's only a junior, and it's like,
That's funny.
But you know, and then they have really, you know, nice complement of players. I like the things that their line does. You know, I like some of the schemes, some of the switches they did, and then you know, the hard part is going to be that you know they've got 7 or 8 games worth of offense that they've done that, you know, they made a change. I believe it was after the Winthrop game, doing on offense. And, mm-hmm. and so that just added to the playbook of things that we need to focus on to make sure, because we've got to go back now to everything in their, you know, if you want to call it their new playbook and their old playbook. And so that just gives us, you know, we're just doing the same old crap that we've done for years, but, you know, we just, you know, puts a little bit more on our plate of what we have to do to prepare, for what Danvers does. And then, you know, they're gonna add, you know, they're gonna trade the tight end, they're gonna do an unbalanced look to the boundary or stuff like that, that, you know, we'll have to prepare for that we haven't seen, that they'll do, you know, that they'll put in for us for this week or something like that. So it's always a team that's difficult to prepare for. They do such a nice job putting things out there, showing you something new, showing you something that this looks like what we did before, but it's actually that. And and then defensively, they've always given us fit. So, you know, this is going to be a real tough game for us, and we're looking forward to it. It's going to be nice to have this type of a challenge before you go into the playoffs.
You coaches crack me up, because it just seems to me like whenever I talk to you guys, you know what each other has for breakfast every day, and it's amazing. In a 24-hour day, what you guys do, it's just incredible. Coach, one final question I'd like to ask you about is maybe a quick thought on the playoff chances for the Northeastern Conference, because you've got all kinds of different divisions here that will be qualifying. So how do you kind of take a look at the league overall?
Well, I think it, you know, obviously starts with Peabody. I think they're going to have a ton of success in the playoffs. They're very difficult to stop. The, you know, the Barrett Lynch combination is, you know, otherworldly. You know, it's very different. They've been doing it since, I remember back during COVID, there was a winter league, a winter flag league, that everything was shut down, and there were a couple of teams that were in this league that was so unfootball-like, the center could go out for passes. It was like they were using kids' flag football rules. Mm-hmm. And I just remember the Lynch and Barrett just moving the ball up and down the field, doing nothing but hitches, just throwing hitches. Mm-hmm. And I knew then, like, okay, this is different. This is just not bombs away. We're a spread team. We're just going to, you know, we're going to try a bunch of different things. They had a plan. These two knew what they were doing, and it was different. And you could see it back then, and they've just, you know, added to their repertoire, and kind of now some of the things that they're doing are just between those two players, the communication that they have, the way they get each other out of trouble. It's special. It's different. So I think teams are going to struggle with that. And the team itself, Peabody itself, is just a very good, solid offense and defense team. So well coached. So I think they're going to do really well. They're in a division that is front loaded. You know, the teams that are at the top are really, really good. But I definitely think that, you know, Peabody can make some noise there. Division three is a little wacky. You know, it's just kind of us and Masco. And, mm-hmm. yep. you know, if we're fortunate enough to win on Friday night and Masco is, there's a very good chance that we will play Masco in the first round, which that seems like we've, ever since Masco's joined the Northeast Conference, we've ended up playing them twice a year every year.
Oh, jeez.
That would be strange. Mm-hmm. But I love, you know, Masco, I think, looks really good right now. They turned it on the second half of that game against Danvers. Beverly, they've struggled. You know, really, really happy for Jeff and his staff and the kids there. They got a nice win against Swampscott and, you know, well-earned, well-deserved. I haven't seen the game yet, but I think, you know, they're not going to probably make the playoffs. I haven't really looked that hard to see, and I would imagine Swampscott probably might still be in the mix, but would need to win this next game. And you know, I haven't seen enough of them to make a decision or know really how they're going to be. But I love Peabody's chances. I think, you know, Masco at any point in time can beat anybody. I just haven't seen enough of the other teams. I love what John Cadigan. I think Winthrop has a chance to beat anybody at any time. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw that they gave Peabody probably the best game that any team in the Northeast Conference did. And also, you know, John put a great game plan together against Danvers.
Hey, you know, I'm just looking at last thing I promise. I'm looking at Wakefield as number two, and they're putting together a hell of a season.
Yeah, you know, and again, there's one of those ones where you kind of discount, you know, where teams are preseason, you know, what they did the year before. It looked like last year we were going to play Wakefield. We had got all of the rankings. If you remember, the rankings came up late. We didn't find out who we were going to play until 2 o'clock on Monday, which is of, you know, way, way past what the MIA.
I remember that, yeah.
So we actually went out and got all the film from Wakefield. We drew up all their plays, and we practiced against Wakefield last year on Monday when it turned out to be Norwood. And so by Monday night, we had to do the turnaround and get all the film and blah, blah, blah for Tuesday. So I remember last year looking at what Wakefield did. They have a great system. They have good things. They had some good young players. And didn't know that they were going to do this one. There's different factors in it. We don't know. You know, how is the rest of the league? Is their league down? But either way, I that's a good team. They have a good coach up there. It'll be interesting to see where they end up.
Well, Jim, it sounds like you're re-energized after your trip to the Bahamas, so welcome back.
Thank you.
And, of course, I jest. I know how hard you guys work. You know, Paul Ingram has been a friend of mine for more than 40 years, and I know how many hours that you guys put in, and it's mental, it's physical, it's challenging, and it's also very rewarding. And thank you for taking the time, Jim. Every time we talk to you guys, we learn something, and it's very exciting. Good luck this week, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Great. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Coach. Take care. Bye-bye. That is Marblehead High School football coach Jim Rudloff. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.